It's the morning show. I'm Molly Stentz. No one quite describes the drying up of a small town like the musician Greg Brown.
The summer's full of thunder, the kids run and play. Mama got a new wrinkle, Papa ain't got much to say. Rust grows along the railroad track. The young folks leave, they don't come back. And I don't have to read the news or hear it on the radio. I see it in the faces of everyone I know. The boards go up, the signs come down. And what's gonna happen to our little town?
We're talking about our declining rural populations this morning. The new census numbers are in, and they confirm what many people already know. We're losing people in many small towns across the state. When jobs leave and young people leave, the downward spiral begins. Towns find their back tax base is dwindling. They have to cut back or consolidate their school districts. It becomes harder to keep people around. More cutbacks. How do we reverse this trend? We're talking about it this morning. We're at 1-800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org. Rick Barrett is a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he has dug into the census numbers, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Rick.
Hi, good morning, Molly.
Glad you could be with us. So, hey, you reviewed the latest census numbers showing the depopulation across Wisconsin's rural counties. How bad is it?
That's a really good question, Molly. The answer will vary quite a bit. I mean, the state's overall population grew about 3.6% to nearly 6 million people, but nearly 30% of the counties in the state, mostly in rural areas, lost residents. And that's where it seems to be the concern. If you look at the 21 Wisconsin counties that lost population, most would be considered rural. There's no uniform definition of the term, but a lot of times it's defined as a place lacking a metro area of around 50,000 people. So those are the counties that seem to be losing the most people.
And which parts of the state are we talking about?
Yeah, if you look at the counties that lost the most population, you could kind of paint a picture of northern Wisconsin, north central Wisconsin, but it's not uniform. Richland County saw the greatest drop, 4% of its population, but it's in the southwest part of the state. And then Rusk and Taylor counties each lost around 3.8% of their population. Crawford County was at 3.2%. So you've got counties both in the north and in the southwest part of the state that seem to be the ones that are losing the most.
And what do you think accounts for this?
There are all kinds of reasons. If you look at the employment is a key part of it. I mean, rural Wisconsin has so many small businesses, and they're the lifeblood of Wisconsin. You can't understate how important they are. But still, without large employers, without companies that employ hundreds of people, folks have to drive farther and farther for work, and so that's where rural Wisconsin is at a disadvantage. Without large employers, it's more difficult to draw people and keep them there.
Sure. Where do we find that people are moving to when they're leaving smaller rural agricultural communities?
Yeah, the counties that seem to do the best were the ones that kind of had a hub nearby, whether it be, Eau Claire, whether it be La Crosse, where there's a pretty good, decent-sized city within driving distance for work. That was a key factor. And interesting, too, in terms of growth goes, some of the counties that gained residents, I mean, St. Croix, for instance, that's closer to the Twin Cities, so that would explain part of that. But sure. Sawyer and Door and Bayfield and Vilas, they don't have a significant city of any size, and they all had growth.
Sure, sure. And so, yeah, I noticed that in northern Wisconsin, those counties that are close to Lake Superior, they rely a lot on tourism. I also wonder about the role of the internet, since they tend to have a really strong internet providers in those counties. How much of a factor do you think that is in these numbers?
I think it is a pretty strong factor, Molly. If you look at Bayfield County and Vilas County, for example, part of that could be from what's almost called like the COVID effect, where people were moving there to get away from the cities. They wanted to be in a less crowded area, and they could do that because the internet providers have really stepped up their game there. You're able to work from, your summer home in Bayfield County or Vilas County, just as if you were in the city. So I think it has made a pretty significant difference.
Right. You profiled in your recent reporting couples that were essentially fleeing larger cities and the rising costs, particularly housing costs, and finding they could telecommute just fine from smaller rural areas as long as there was a solid internet provider.
Yeah, they could, and that's worked out well for a lot of folks. And there are also people who are just moving because they want a change of life, too. I mean, they're looking for a little slower pace, a little more relaxed lifestyle, and the rural communities are drawing them there for that. You've got places like Sawyer County that's in the northern part of the state. They had about a 9% gain in population in the census. Well, that's kind of interesting because the internet service is not all that great in Sawyer County, but yet they have the Birkebeiner cross country ski race. They've got the Chequamegon fat tire bicycle race. They have a whole culture there for hunting and fishing that draws a lot of people to the area. And many of those folks have just decided they'd like to call that home. So, there are all kinds of reasons why people will move to rural areas.
We're speaking with Rick Barrett, business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Rick, what was the most surprising thing that you saw in the census data?
I think for me, the most surprising thing was the degree of decline in some of these rural counties and some of the small towns is really disturbing. When you drive through, the numbers don't tell the whole story. When you drive through some of these smaller towns, you can really see it. And that's really disturbing.
And I wonder what implications this has for the state. I mean, one could say, and for many people that perhaps grew up in small towns and couldn't wait to get away to find other opportunities, to explore the world, maybe have more job prospects, I could hear some people saying, so what? People are going to go where the options are, where the opportunities are. That's a story as old as time. People growing up and wanting to get away from their parents or their communities that they've known so well. Is it a problem that people move away?
Yeah, it's going to matter for a lot of different reasons. I don't think any state in the country wants to have its economy and its cultural life built on, two or three different hubs and say, well, that's it. And the rest of the state is just kind of a backwater place. That's not a healthy formula for growth or for anything in terms of a state's future. So you want to have a healthy economy. You want to have good schools. You want to have good medical care and all sorts of reasons for people to live not only in two or three places, but across the entire state. I mean, I think it just makes sense that, we keep our rural areas thriving.
We're speaking this morning with Rick Barrett, business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is The Morning Show. I'm Molly Stenz. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenz. We're unpacking the census results this morning with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Rick Barrett. We're looking at population declines across much of rural Wisconsin. What things do you think rural counties in Wisconsin need to do to attract younger residents? Give us a call. We're at 1-800-642-1234. You can also drop us an email, ideas@wpr.org. Well, Rick, you were talking about some of the things that counties and rural areas are doing, particularly in Sawyer, to reverse the trend, right? To develop a niche, if you will, a focus on recreation, outdoor sports that draw so many people to the area. What are some other strategies you see counties employing to reverse the trend?
You know, right now, I think a lot of the rural counties are focused on broadband, and because it's the linchpin for, you know, rural businesses as well as growth. I mean, farmers need it to buy equipment, follow crop prices. You can't have a small factory unless they can connect with their suppliers and their customers. I mean, health centers, tourism businesses, you know, kids who are studying from home, parents who are working from home these days, just about everybody needs broadband. Without that, you're not going to see growth, period. So, long-winded answer to your question, I think broadband is a key.
Sure. And we've seen the feds and the state distribute grants, try to direct some investment around the state to communities. How quickly will we see the effects of this?
This year is going to be a pretty big difference. There's a lot of money that's being poured into it, both at a state and federal level. And with the White House's infrastructure plan, it could be stepped up even more. The next couple of years could be a huge difference. But it depends on how the money is spent. If it's spent wisely, you know, we could see all sorts of changes. If it just goes to the areas that probably would have received better service anyway, then not so much.
Well, Rick, we have a caller waiting to speak with you. Let's go to the phones now and talk to Fred from Beaver Dam. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. I really had a comment more than anything. This show was set up telling us about the percentages of increase and decline in various counties in Wisconsin, and then we went on to talk about what that meant. But by using percentages to talk about this, to compare counties by percentages, is useless if you don't use the actual numbers. Certainly a loss in population in Richland County of 2 or 3% can't be compared to a gain in Dane County of 1%. You have to know what the numbers are, and by not telling them, you make this all a foolish exercise.
All right, Fred. Rick, do you have some numbers handy?
Sure. We have all kinds of numbers. I would respectfully disagree that it's a foolish exercise because, you know, growth in a rural area is entirely different than growth in a metro area. So it's almost apples and oranges. So I think percentages are relevant. But, yeah, but we've got all kinds of numbers.
It gets a little...
I mean, Dane County...
Yeah, it gets a little tricky on the radio to start spewing out population numbers for all of our 72 counties. But, yeah, Dane County.
Yeah, we have them. I mean, Dane County saw the greatest growth. And again, by percentage, it was 15%. Went from 488,073 in 2010 to 561,584 in 2020. So there's your 15% growth. that's a huge increase. If you want to look at declines, Milwaukee County went from 947,735. No, I'm sorry. Went from 939,489, which is about a 1% decrease. So that's another example of a metro area. When you're looking at increases, Bayfield County, which we just talked about, they went from 15,000 roughly to 16,220 in the 2020 census. So you could argue, well, that's just a little over 1,000 people. But for that area, that's significant. That's 1,000 year-round residents in a community that only has 16,000 people.
Exactly. And people feel the impacts. I was in Bayfield last week, and people were talking about this, talking about the growth that they're seeing in the area. Excitedly so. But as you mentioned, they can feel the impact. I have another caller coming in. We have a comment actually from Kurt in DeSoto. He says that city people come in and buy up homes in small towns. They fix them up. They pay taxes, but they don't bring any kids, and they fight against growth. And he says rural communities really aren't gaining anything from them except the tax dollars. He's worried that they're not leaving housing for the next generation with which to attract new people to the community. What do you think about that argument?
I think he makes some very good points. A lack of housing is definitely an issue. It's that classic conundrum where, new homes won't be built unless people are moving into an area, but a lot of times they won't come in unless there are new affordable places to live. And, his point about older people moving in, I think that tax base is important, but for how many years, are they going to be able to contribute? And without young families coming in, you're not going to have growth.
Yeah. We've got another caller for you. We will go next to Milwaukee, and we have Hannah joining us. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to bring up why a lot of people that I know wouldn't consider moving to a rural area or moving back to a rural area. And it has a lot to do with social issues. Most of the people that I know are looking to raise kids in a diverse environment. A lot of people are, members of the LGBTQ community. And there's a perception, and sometimes unfortunately a reality, that smaller towns and rural areas aren't necessarily going to be as open or as inclusive, or, they're looking for a little more cultural diversity that a lot of these areas just don't really have or aren't really known for. Regardless of jobs, regardless of broadband, if someone doesn't feel like they're going to be safe or accepted or, be able to make friends in an area, they're not going to move there.
That's a key point, Hannah. Thank you. Rick, what do you think?
I think she makes a very valid point. People will not want to live in a community where they don't feel welcomed and where they don't feel like there are other people similar to them in the community. It does take a little bit of a nucleus to get things going. If you don't have people who are your friends, in that community, you're not going to stick around for very long.
Yeah. So what, we've just got a moment left here, but what policy implications do you think these numbers bring up or we could see coming out of these numbers?
I think there's a lot at stake here, Molly, whether it's the schools and the state aid that they receive, whether it's the tax base for all kinds of county services, whether it's the workforce, in terms of being able to support businesses and growth. There's just so much at stake here. It feels to me like the legislature ought to make this a high priority.
Well, Rick Barrett, we are about out of time, but I want to thank you for your reporting and for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Molly.
We have been speaking with Rick Barrett, business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Up next is news and a story of our Wisconsin life. Then we'll talk with Common Council President Cavalier Johnson of Milwaukee, who's in line to take over as acting Milwaukee mayor when and if Tom Barrett is confirmed as the U.S. ambassador to Luxembourg. I'm Molly Stentz. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.